sometimes at 8 a.m., one of our readers gives just a little contextual setting to the reading before he reads it. And it's short, not a homily, just maybe one sentence. And this morning, David pointed out that Paul seems pretty frustrated and impatient in this reading today. "I mean, brothers and sisters, the time's grown short and you should be acting differently." Well, I can understand that. Leading is rarely comfortable and sometimes rather rocky and sometimes rather frustrating. Especially when the leader makes mistakes or when the leader feels alone. And I suspect that Paul is feeling all of those things in this reading today. One of the things with us clergy is that we rarely get to see the effects of our leadership in some senses. Because when you're part of a community, you aren't objective anymore. You can't see the changes that may or may not be happening for better or for worse. And in people's personal lives, people that we spend time with in pastoral care or counseling, often something may happen, but we will never, ever know about that. So it always strikes me that clergy have interesting hobbies. I've done a little survey about this, and John can either agree or disagree, and Hugh as well, probably, but every clergy person I know, no matter what their personality, has a hobby that is very discreet and that always you can see the finished product when you're done with it, unlike people. For me, one of my hobbies, I guess you could call it, or things that I do, is I love to have a clean car. I spend a lot of time making sure my car is absolutely perfectly clean. Not this time of year so much, but certainly in the summer. I love having it all polished up on the outside and completely clean on the inside. And Glenn Robinson will attest to this. He's even helped me take a scratch out of my vehicle because it just feels so good for something to be finished. And I can see it. I know it's going to change 5 minutes later when I get in the car and drive down the road, but just for those few minutes, it's a sense of accomplishment. No frustration, no people, no nothing. Just a clean car. It's actually become quite a joke with my friends and colleagues who are also clergy. When we drive to clergy conference, I drive because I always have a clean car. And it's now gotten to the point where they'll get in the car and we'll stop for lunch and one of them will make sure they get a few extra napkins so that when they're driving down the road, they'll say to the person in the back seat, "Watch this." And they'll toss some garbage into the car just to see if they'll get a reaction from me. I love having good friends. It's very helpful. But of course, now that I know that's what they do, I don't react at all and say, "It's okay, I'll clean it tomorrow." But sometimes every once in a while, someone comes up to you many years later, and says, "You know that sermon you preached?" And I always have to say, "Yes, yes, of course." And they'll say, "It changed my life." It changed my life. That's a pretty big thing to say. Or, "Remember the time you told me to do this?" And I'll be going, "Oh, no idea, but yes." And they'll say, "That made a huge difference." And I always say the same thing, "Well, I didn't do it. Maybe something I said through me inspired you, but you did the work. You made the change. You're the one who has saved you, not me. I was just one of the people along the way." Sometimes I think that we forget that being saved by Jesus, by being called and following Jesus, means that we have to have others around us to save us and to call us on a daily basis, to remind us of who we are and what we're called to be, to see us and to appreciate us and celebrate us, because we can't do this alone, to tell us how far we've come and where God still needs us to go, to come alongside us, and so that we realize that we really are not alone. When Jesus calls the fishermen today, and in Mark, do you see what's absent from that reading? There's no individualism, no being left on your own, no pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, No, you can handle this. Suck it up, buttercup. No, follow me, and oh, by the way, good luck with that. Rather, it's follow me, and I will make you fish for people. That is, follow me, and more followers will come. Follow me, and you will never be by yourself. And Jesus doesn't call the disciples individually. He calls them in pairs, together. Andrew and Simon, then James and John. Because being disciples of Jesus is not an autonomous profession. God knows, and Jesus knows, that we cannot do discipleship on our own. We cannot do life on our own. We cannot live into our vocations, our truth, on our own. We certainly can't follow Jesus on our own. I can't preach on my own. John can't preside on his own. We all need each other. Every once in a while, when I'm in a bad space, I have a few friends who know me well enough that they know before I do sometimes where I'm at. And they'll give me a call or send me a text message and try and boot me out of wherever I'm at that's not a great place. And how do they know that? They know because I've stopped being in touch. Because I'm one of those people who likes to keep in close touch with my friends, some on a daily basis, and they know that. And when I disappear for even a day, they wonder, what is going on with her? And I need them. I need them because sometimes they notice long before I do that I've withdrawn. And each one of us does that in our own way. Some of us push people away. We get angry or we do something that pushes people from us. Some people overcompensate and are really chatty. So chatty that you would never notice that there was something wrong, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point. And some of us look really good on the outside, but we're miserable on the inside. Every one of us has our own way of doing that, and every one of us needs people to call us out of that and to remind us that we are loved by God, even if we don't love ourselves, and that we can do this. The people of Nineveh couldn't do it alone either. It says that it was such a great city, 3 days' walk across, and they were in trouble. They were living a life that God did not approve of. And God sent Jonah. And Jonah couldn't do it alone either. He needed a whale, and he needed a voice, and he needed God to make sure that he went and did what he was supposed to do. But Jonah needed to call them out, to see the people of Nineveh for who they really were, not just what they were doing. Only then did the people of Nineveh change their ways. Only then did God see them and bless them and change God's mind about what he was going to do with those people. Well, we need people like Jonah. We need advocates and mentors. We need peers and colleagues and friends and neighbors. We need community and camaraderie. We need others to take risks, knowing that we will take the next risk perhaps on their part, and vice versa. We need to wear black so we know that we're seen and heard and unknown. We need to tell our hashtag me too, hashtag church too stories so that others are empowered to tell theirs. We need each other badly in this digital world. I'm sure you've noticed, because you're probably doing what I'm doing when you walk down the street. I walked up the street the other day, and I realized that I hadn't seen a person. It's not because the street was empty. It was because I was checking my phone. And so I walked along like this, and there was an article in the Globe and Mail, a couple recently, one about the high incidence of people getting hit by cars in the United States because they're not paying any attention to anything but the device in their hands. People don't smile at each other walking down the street anymore, and if they do, it's kind of a rare event because clearly they're listening to music or talking on the phone or looking at this stupid thing that's supposed to help us. And if you read in the Globe and Mail last weekend, there was a full article about how this is changing our lives. In some ways, it connects us, and in some ways, it connects us falsely. And in some ways, it helps us. And in some ways, it makes us more individual and more alone. And so it's easy to feel alone these days. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to need help. But it's not so easy to ask for it. Yesterday, about 20-some of us spent the day looking at our personalities, which is always a bit risky on everyone's part. So I thank all of them for taking the risk and walking with me yesterday and sharing a little bit of who we are. When we're at our best and when we're at our worst, that's the scary part. But when we do those kinds of things, we connect on a different level. We begin to see that why sometimes people bother us, and sometimes we still can't figure that out. And we see what we are like whenever we are disconnected from ourselves, let alone the community around us. And so it's important to take that time regularly on our own behalf to figure out our connections. Because when Jesus says, follow me, it's so much more than following. It's not just being, you know, acquiescing to somebody's desires. It's actually about following and getting people to come into that life. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a fisherman, having a lovely time fishing, mending my nets, hanging out with my dad and my brother, and all of a sudden this guy comes along and says, follow me. And you drop everything that you had, and you follow Jesus. Not to fish for fish, but for people. Do you know how different that is? My brother used to be a dairy farmer, and then he owned a bed and breakfast. He said the nice thing about cows was they never talked back. The difference between caring for animals and people is quite stark. The difference between fishing for fish, who certainly don't make much noise, and fishing for people is huge. What a calling. And we are called to do that as well. And so to believe in this God, to believe in everything that we are called to do, we need people to walk with us. We need other disciples. We need friends and companions. So think about it. Do you see them? Do you see your Andrew and your Simon, your James and your John? Do you see the people who walk with you and who are there for you and that you are there for them? Because we can't do it alone. What about your Mary Magdalene and the Marys, the mothers of James and Salome? What about your Joanna? What about all those saints and people who went before us who teach us something about following God and about allowing ourselves to be open enough that people can call us out of ourselves when we need to be called? Follow me, says Jesus. And you can. Others can. How? Because you're never alone. There are always others with you. And that is the good news of today. Amen.